You have your Bible handy, open it to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, or open up your app, whatever you have, Matthew chapter 25. It's going to be the text we'll look at in just a moment. Good to see everybody. We have a number of visitors with us today. Thank you for being here with us. For our family members, it is good for us to be together with each other. Just at the start of this week to remind ourselves of the fellowship we have with one another, most in particularly our fellowship with God. So thank you for being here today. A lot of you may not remember the old television show Andy Griffith, but you know, on that show, Andy always had a way with being subtle. He could say something and not say it, and people understood what he meant. You know, he and Opie be walking down the path, and he'd say, "Now, Opie, yeah, Paul, you see that rock down there? Yeah, Paul." He'd look at Opie. Opie says, "I won't lie anymore, Paul." You know, where did that come from? But somehow he made a connection. I've learned over the years I can't be that subtle. I wish I could, and so sometimes I have to be blunt. I'm going to be a little blunt with you today. And I'm going to try to be gentle but loving but blunt. I talked to a number of preacher friends of mine as we are coming out of hopefully COVID, and I continually hear the same message. And that message is, people are slow getting back into participating. It may be found in attendance. Wednesday night, almost universally, with all the preachers I talk to, is the one that has taken the hit. And for us, that's true. There are Christians who used to come regularly on Wednesday night who just decided now not to come. Okay. We can encourage. That's what we try to do. But it's not just that. It's just service. I universally hear across the board from other preachers, people aren't teaching as much as they used to. We have guys who used to lead singing. They're not leading singing anymore. They're not leading prayers. And that's not the totality of our service, by the way, what we do publicly. It's just the daily acts of service. And that's taken a hit maybe sometimes too. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. I want to talk to you about the talents that God has given you and given me, and whether we are really trying to use those talents or not, and what we need to be aware of if we don't. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives three stories. The first one is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And you remember that story? There were 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, 5 were prepared, 5 were not. The bridegroom was delayed in coming. The foolish ones weren't ready. They got left out. The wise ones got in. And it's pretty easy to understand what the point is of that parable. The point is, you need to be ready for Christ coming again. In the latter part of the chapter, beginning of verse 31, Jesus gives a judgment scene. And he tells about the judgment, everyone before him divided between the left and the right. Some are saved, some aren't. And it's all based upon how you lived your life. But the parable in the middle is there for a reason. The parable in the middle is the parable of the talents. And Jesus placed it there, I believe, to emphasize to us that it's good to be ready for Christ's coming, and it's good to think about the judgment. But as we live our lives, we've got to be busy in our service to Him. So let's pick up in verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. And he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. And he who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you have scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master said to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the bottom line is, this is not a terribly complicated parable. I think most of us can understand what's going on here. Jesus sets up the story, first of all, by talking about a master who has a farm, has a business. He's going out of town. He gives funds to three of his servants with the expectation that they will use these funds for his benefit, so that his business, his farm, continues to prosper. Now, there is the underlying idea that if a master is not present, some will not work. All right. You really get this as you look over in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 19. Flip your Bible over there. Here Jesus gives the parable of the minas. Now, this parable is not exactly like the parable of the talents, although the larger strokes are the same. A master goes out of town. He gives funds to 10 servants to be used in his service. Three of them are mentioned, one that had brought 10 minas from the one, one that had brought 5 talents from the one given to him, and one that hid. I want you to notice verse 13. Calling his 10 servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, Engage in business until I come. All right. There is the encouragement and the expectation. While I'm away, this is not a time for you to sit back and do nothing. I want you guys to be busy in service. You jump into the New Testament epistles and you find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is talking about a problem in that church. There were Christians there who weren't working. They were waiting for Christ to come again, but they weren't busy. And Paul said, look, if someone doesn't work, they're not to eat. Paul said, you know the example I set. I worked. The overall message here is there is an expectation on the part of the master and on the part of God that when abilities are given, they need to be executed. We must be people in the kingdom who are working every day, because each of these parables end with a judgment. I mean, it's great when you read, well done, right? Well done. But you don't want to hear what the master said to the one who hid his talent, right? Wicked. Lazy. Slothful. The master expected something. He said, at the very least, you could have taken it to the bankers and I would have gotten some interest from it. But he didn't do anything with it. So, from this, I want to ask us this morning, and I include myself, 3 important questions. First one's going to be the longest. It's going to take the longest amount of time for us to unpack. Question number 1. What are my talents? The text that Josh read just a moment ago, did you notice? Jump back over to Romans chapter 12. Did you notice a couple of words there that Paul used, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3? in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." All right. Notice Paul says, I want to talk to everyone among you, and I want each of you to think about the faith that God has given you. And he's going to go on and speak of this faith as abilities. Notice verse 6. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." You and I need to understand, every one of us has been given some ability by God. No one is an exception. And sometimes people go, "Oh, I don't have any abilities at all." That is not true. Paul makes it clear that every Christian has some kind of ability that God has placed within their hands to be used in the kingdom of God. We all have something that can be used. Now, a couple of things. One, everybody can't do the same thing. Right? Sometimes we see other people doing something and maybe we start getting envious or jealous. Well, why can't I do that? There are some that are five talent people. There are some that are two talent people. There are some people that are one talent people. That's okay. If you can identify in your life one talent that you have, you're doing pretty good. All right? But don't compare yourself to someone else. And don't get jealous when someone else is doing a lot in the kingdom of God. And don't put them down for that. Commend those people who are working hard. If they're using all their talents, five talents, one talent. All of us can't do the same thing, but the point is we can all do something. God is the one who decides how he will use us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. This great text where Paul is talking about the body of Christ. Paul said, "As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses." Throughout the Bible, God has used people the way he wants to use them. And God gifts us with abilities, and he wants us to use them as he sees fit. So, I guess the big question that we ask then is, well, how do I know what my abilities are? Let me give you a couple of things to think about. First of all, ask yourself, what are my natural inclinations? What are the things that I seem naturally good at? Some of you may be very good teachers. You need to be teaching Bible classes. Some of you may be very good at encouraging other people and speaking to other people. You need to be doing that. Look, we need greeters right now. You might be someone who could go and wait outside, and when people come in, you could be a friendly voice and face that they would see when they come in. You may have a great singing voice. Maybe you can use that to encourage all your brothers and sisters when we sing together. Maybe if you're a man, you can lead singing. All right? Maybe you have the ability to fix things. That's not used in our worship assembly, but you know you can use that for the glory of God. You can help people. Look at yourself and try to figure out, and it's probably not terribly difficult, what are your strengths? God's blessed you with those. Use those in his kingdom. But don't be content with that. Here's another thing. Push yourself. What was the occupation of Peter, Andrew, James, and John when they first started following Christ? Fishermen. Thank you. Okay, 500 points right there. Okay, they were fishermen. What would God do with them? They would become teachers of the law of God. That's a big jump, guys. And Jesus had encouraged them, follow me. What was Moses? He was a shepherd, right? And what would he become? He would become the leader of God's people. Somewhere along the way, both these groups had to make a decision. This isn't in my wheelhouse, but I'll give it a shot. Sometimes God opens up doors for you. You need to be aware of those doors. It may be a door that you may not think that you can naturally go through, but God may want you to go through that door. So give it a shot, right? Try it. Take those abilities, use them as you can, but try to find new ones. J.
John Hunley and I were at a restaurant recently, and there was this young guy there who was checking us out. He had a great voice. He had a great voice. And I said, you need to be a preacher. He said, why? I said, you have a great voice. He said, well, thank you. You have a great voice, too. I said, you are lying now. Okay? You can't be a preacher now. No. So, you know, I don't know this kid, and I don't know if I'll ever run into him again, but maybe there was something planted to make him think about his relationship with the Lord. So just look for something. I've known Christians over the years who have pushed themselves to do things that was not in their wheelhouse, but they excelled because they cared. So look for those things that you think sometimes, well, maybe God does want me to try something. And try. You want to teach? You want to get better at teaching? See me. See Brother Paul. See David. See any man that you admire as a teacher, or ladies, a woman that you admire, and talk to them. And maybe you can come in and teach with us for a quarter and figure out how to do it better. You want to lead singing? See some of our wonderful song leaders and ask them for help. You want to help people more and serve people more? Look around. We have a congregation of people who do so much. Say, hey, can I sit with you one day, or go somewhere with you, or help you? Look for the opportunity to push yourself. Now, you may push yourself in that area and find out afterwards, that's not really where my strength is. That's okay. But look for opportunities to do a little bit more. But also, in all of that, be realistic. And accept that sometimes there are limitations. Look, everybody can't preach. Everybody can't serve as an elder or a deacon. In fact, God has placed some limits, right? Women can't preach or serve as elders. Although women are godly, and they have something that they can do in the kingdom of God. But maybe sometimes God places limits. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the fact that God has ordained some to be apostles and teachers. So sometimes there are limits there, but also there are limits in our life, right? Someone who's very busy gets sick. They can't do as much as they once did. Maybe in your season of life, you've got kids. Teresa and I have talked about, and she's told me that there are things that she can do now that she couldn't do when the kids were there to the extent that she wanted to. And there are limitations that we have sometimes. So understand, you may not be able to do as much as you would like. And if you try it, or if the opportunity isn't there, just stand back and do what you can at the moment, because that's all God expects out of us. God only expects us to give what we can give. To the 5-talent man, he didn't say, "We're 20." To the 2-talent man, "I needed 6. You brought 2? We're good. You brought 5? It's Christmas." Okay? But God expects us to do what we can. In Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14, there's a beautiful story of, in that text, an unnamed woman who comes to Christ, and she anoints his head with oil. In Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 12, we're told it's Mary who came, and there we're told that she also anointed his feet. So it's going to be Mary who comes. And the disciples were putting her down. This could be used in other ways. This is silly for her to do this. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good thing for me." And then Jesus said, "She has done what she could." Wow. Just anointing Jesus? I mean, these guys are going to go out to the world and they're going to preach the gospel. But Jesus said, wherever the gospel goes, this woman will be remembered because she did what she could. Guys, that's the good news here. God only expects from you what he's given. And if you got one talent, genuinely, you push yourself, you finally say, "Hey, look, I think I got one talent, there's one thing I can do, I'm going to really try to do it well," here's the good news. This is great. you please God. If there are several things that you can do, you do those, you're busy in the kingdom, guess what? You please God. But, I don't want you to miss this, but doing nothing is not an option. Okay? I love you. I hope you love me. But doing nothing is not an option. So the second question, and this is an introspective question. Are you, am I, are we using our talents? Because that's what God expects. In fact, I'll take it a step farther, that's what He demands. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, Paul, again, talking about the body and how God uses people, Paul said this, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, listen, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Notice every joint and each part. The only way a church can operate in an optimal way is when every Christian is doing what they can do. And when every Christian isn't doing that, the church is operating in a less than optimal way. And that doesn't please the Lord. Timothy, I think, is an interesting example of this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Keep in mind, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells Timothy not to be timid or fearful. So it seems that within Timothy, there was somewhat of a disposition to be a little hesitant. And notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4. "Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have." I mean, it's right there, right? Paul knew Timothy. Paul knew Timothy was maybe someone as little hesitant. And Paul said, look, you got to get out there. You got to work. Don't neglect that gift. And lovingly. I think Paul would say to us right now, every one of us as Christians, don't neglect the gift that you've got. Don't put it aside. Use it every day because God did not give it to us for our own good. If you, Romans chapter 12, have the gift of leadership, He didn't give that to you so that you can establish a Fortune 500 company. Now, you may do that with the gift that He gives you, but God gave it to you to be useful. Isn't that the problem in Luke chapter 12 with the man who is the farmer? And he was successful. He was popping out crops left and right. So much so that he said, look, I'm going to tear down my barn and build bigger barns. I got it all. This is about me. You remember God's assessment of him? You fool. This night, your life will be required of you. The abilities that we have are not about us. Everybody pay attention. The abilities that we have are not about us. God wants us to do two things with those abilities. First of all, He wants us to use our abilities to serve Him. And second of all, and in connection to that, He wants us to use our abilities to serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 really pulls this together beautifully. Paul said, as each has received a gift, that's what we're talking about here, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God. There's the marriage. My service to God leads me to serve my fellow man. My service to my fellow man is driven by my service to God. So he said, use those gifts as stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That reminds you of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's not about you. It's not about people seeing how wonderful you are or how wonderful I am. It's about doing what we can with the abilities that God has given us to point people to God. Right? Everybody get this? Right? It's not complicated, right? It's really pretty simple. So, we close with this last question. And this is 100% introspective. Will God be pleased or displeased with me at judgment? Guys, I don't know a question that we need to be more concerned about. Because one day, you and I will stand before Him. And one day, we will give an account for the talents He has blessed us with. And one day, we will hear one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Or, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Which one's it going to be? I can't answer for you. My role as a preacher is simply to try to challenge you. And by the way, challenge myself. I love all of you and I admire all of you so much. And there's a lot that is done by this church. But there could be more done if everybody jumps in and does their part. So, just think about this question. If you need to make your life right this morning, we're going to sing a song in just a moment, because you might not even be a servant right now. You need to become a servant. If you need to be baptized, have your sins washed away, and get in there and really serve the Lord, then we're ready to do whatever we can to help you. If you need to study, whatever it is. If you're a child of God, and you recognize you're not using your talents the way that you should, read over this afternoon. Reflect upon it more. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm just here to challenge. If you can honestly say, look, I'm doing everything I can do right now at this point in my life, and you can reflect upon the judgment that's going to come and say, look, I'm really doing, then that's between you and the Lord. But if you can say, look, there are some things I could probably be doing. Right now I'm just a consumer, and I want to be someone who adds too. Then you need to ask God to forgive you. And you need to talk to one of the elders and just say, what can I do? Or how can I help? What more can I do in the service of the Lord? Judgment's coming one day. Okay. You got to be ready. So, you think about those three questions. Answer those three questions in your mind. If there's something we can do for you now, in just a moment as we stand and sing, come forward. While we stand and sing.